Hello everyone, good morning.
Good morning.
Maganda ba ang inyong mga gising? Yes. Of course, of course. Oo naman, amen. The blessings of the Lord. Okay, so today, let me share you a key to having a great life. So a life of happiness, of fulfillment, and of joy. So this is also the key that Jesus taught his disciples to have, which is to have a servant heart. So I want to start off this message with a story. So our topic today is about servanthood. So there was a girl named Marion Mill, and in many ways, she lived a fairy tale life. She was born in a royal palace in Hungary, and her first spoon was solid gold. She was sent to the best schools, and for college, she was sent to the most prestigious schools in Vienna, and there she met and fell in love with a young medical student named Otto, and their fairy tale continued. So these two get married and migrated to the United States and to live in Hollywood. Otto gave up his medical practice and developed his interest in movies, and he became famous as a director. He even became more prominent than his wife. And Marion also became famous as well in her own way, though. She became a famous international hostess in their homes in New York, in Hollywood, and in several family homes in Europe because of her beauty, charm, and wit. But it turned out that Marion can't handle the fast life in Hollywood, and she turned to drugs and alcohol. She also had numerous affairs, and her life and lifestyle became so sordid that with all those immoral and dishonorable actions, Otto divorced her. So she went into depression and she attempted to end her life. In attempt to get her life together, she moved back to Vienna. There at the party, she met another well-known medical doctor named Albert Schweitzer. So this doctor was home on leave from his hospital work in Lumbarin, Africa. Marion was so fascinated by this man who gave up a potential for great honor and fortune to work in a little village in Africa. And she asked to meet with him. So over the next 6 months, they met regularly, and this doctor shared his desire to make a lasting difference with his life. So it was already the time for Albert to go back to Africa, and Marion begged to let her go with him, and to everyone's surprise, the doctor agreed. So just you see, Marion, the princess born in a palace, went to a little village in Africa, and she spent the rest of her life clearing and emptying bedpans and tearing up sheets to make bandages for the decaying sores on the poverty-stricken African nationals. So reflecting on it, on this, why did she do that? Why are you going to exchange a life of fortune over a life like that? So this is a big realization for us. And Marion wrote an autobiography with the title, All I Want is Everything. And when she died, the Time magazine quoted these words from that book, and it says, Albert Schweitzer says there are two kinds of people. There are the helpers and the non-helpers. And Marion says, I thank God that he allowed me to become a helper, and in helping, I found everything. Yeah, so that church is what it takes to become a servant. A servant, not a volunteer. You cannot find the word volunteer in the Bible, in the New Testament, because volunteer is a secular word. So secular means it is not connected with religious or spiritual matters. So with this story, we find that God has purposed that his followers are the helpers. We people, are the church members, we are designed to serve. So it takes a servant heart to fulfill God's calling for our lives. And that is the end of my preaching. I'm just kidding. All right, so moving on. What exactly is servanthood? Servanthood is the state or condition or quality of being one who lives as a servant. Furthermore, a servant is first of all one who is under submission to another. For us Christians, this means submission to God first, and then submission to one another. So to put it in any other way, servanthood is a condition or state of being of servant to others, of ministry to others rather than the service of self. It means it is the willingness to give oneself to others and to do whatever it takes to accomplish what is best for another. So the meaning is already very clear, but are we doing it? This is quite a sensitive topic, but we have to know how to have a servant heart. As I said a while back, to be of service to others is the key to having a great life. So now let's take a look of how Jesus schooled and mentored his disciples about servanthood, and also how Jesus mentored them to become leaders in the future church, patiently teaching them the ways that they did not understand. And also, Jesus taught them how to preach and to care for people. So this is the story from Matthew. The mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and kneeling down asked a favor from him. Jesus asked, "What do you want?" So do you know Zebedee's sons? Of course, yeah. It's James and John. So the mother said, "Permit these two sons of mine to sit one at your right hand and then the other on your left in your kingdom." Jesus said, "You do not know where you are, what you are asking. It is not for me to grant. And these places belong to those for whom the Father had prepared." Well, you know, mothers are mothers. And I think my mother will also do the same. They all always, most of mothers always want the best for their children. But the mothers of James and John was requesting for honor and glory. So apparently, this mother and these two sons have discussed the teaching and decided that if they are going to be on thrones anyway, they might as well have the positions of honor and glory. So what was their motive? Their motive was glory, honor, and power. That's all they wanted. So when these two followed Jesus, we suspect their motive was to know Jesus more and experience him more deeply. But their motive began to drift when they realized that Jesus was about to restore the kingdom of God on earth. So they are wrongly influenced by the attitudes of the world. When the 10 other disciples heard about this, they were annoyed with these two brothers. They were frustrated. Like maybe in their thinking, "Hey, come on. You haven't done anything better than me, and I have done as much as you do, and you want position?" Yeah. So that the 10 disciples did not want in any other way considered less great than James and John. They wanted a shot at these positions too. So what Jesus did, Jesus called them together and explained to them by saying that the Gentiles, which were not governed by Jewish laws, that those leaders would use their authority to press people down. They are using their authority in the wrong way. And Jesus wants them to know that authority shouldn't be used like that. So Jesus told them, "Let me tell you how to make our life meaningful and how to make our life great." He said, "If you want to be successful and great in the kingdom of God, you have to be servant of all." So, you know, it's really hard to understand about service, about servanthood and a great life. Servanthood and success. So these achievements and success that we call are not greatness in the kingdom of God, but rather God is pointing out that the measure of true greatness in the kingdom of God is by service to others. So are these titles that we have like RN, PhDs, masters, do not matter? Yeah. Of course they matter because we work hard for it to obtain them. But we have to use these titles for the glory of God. So yeah, we have to use these titles to help others, to encourage others, to lift them up, to show them the way to Jesus. Because a good leader is a good servant. Until you can serve, you'll never be a great leader. And Jesus is already the perfect example of being a leader. His life is all about service. Kuya. Yeah. So his life is all about service. And yeah, we can see that in here that the disciples during the Last Supper were arguing to themselves who is the greatest, and Jesus overheard them. And Jesus did something profound. So Jesus arose from the table where they are sitting with the disciples and prepared to wash their feet. Can we see the impact of this one? It is a way to show that their position and authority was not below serving. So we see, he rose up and he got down. He was already in the highest position, but yet he knew that the service was the greatest thing in the kingdom of God. That is the message that he wants to leave to them before he left the earth. So for us, church, for us, if we are going to fulfill this part of God's purpose in our life, this story wants us to ask ourselves, number one, what is our motive? What is our motive in helping others? Are our motives right? We have to know and we have to be aware of our motives. To have this servant heart, we have to know that our motive should be in line with God. Are we really helping people to get better in their lives and to show them the way to know Jesus, or are we helping them to have this glory for ourselves in the end? Do we help because of personal significance, of fortune, of glory and honor? Do we help for this recognition, for accolades? So yeah, there are two options for us. Either we will seek to serve ourselves or we will learn to live as servants. In Matthew chapter 6, the Lord stated that no one is able to serve two masters, for he will hate the one or love the other. So no one is able to serve God and possessions, especially as for money, if money is involved, as money is the root of all evil. In Matthew 6:24, it says, when we serve money, we are really serving ourselves. And our desires for what we think money will purchase, like significance, power, pleasure, stability, or status. Money is not evil, and having it is not evil. But if it becomes our master, it controls our values, our purpose, our pursuits rather than God. And then it becomes evil. So this is the thing we must fight within ourselves. If we are going to improve our ability to serve, we need to check our motives. Our goal, church, is we want to make a positive difference in this world because we love Jesus Christ. And just in case we drift from our good motive, here is another reminder for us not to be lost in serving others. And number two, who is our model? Isn't it our model as Jesus Christ? Jesus is already the perfect example of service. And Jesus is implying that attitude and action of servanthood is not always easy. You'll serve someone and they won't appreciate it. There are also times that they will reject you. You'll be hurt. But we serve anyway, because we are serving Jesus. So our attitude should be like Jesus, who is God, took the very nature of a servant, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even a death on the cross. In Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. So this messianic title draws our attention to his awesome humility. As one though God, of very God, and Messiah himself came in order to serve and to give his life as ransom for many. He came to serve in order to set men free, to be the people of God had created them to be. And for us to take note, in this world, authority, power, and glory are natural way of things. So actually, these are all natural desires, at least for natural sinners like us. And it's so natural that we see this phenomenon and vying position and prestige in nature. It is very evident in our lives. To say the least, it's the politics. So the election is near. They are doing their different campaigns to entice voters. So choose and vote wisely. We can also these positionings in our workplace, within the people we meet, everywhere. So it's natural. But among us, the followers of Jesus, a different value should be at work. We should be people to serve. Because when we serve, we know that it is loving others. When we serve, it is about giving. It is about working. It's about sacrificing with a heavenly reward. And it might not be here, not now, about the heavenly reward. But in Matthew 5:16 it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your God's work and glorify your Father in heaven." So all your works are not in vain. So remember this one. Here on earth, we do not expect heavenly reward. But we know that the reward that we have is already in heaven. And the Father knows that. So moving on in our congregation, though our congregation is not big, we can see the sense of servanthood. In our congregation, of course, this church will not be thriving if without those servant hearts. I remember one of the Bible studies we had in Brother Joe Marie's house. I think we've touched about service, giving ourselves to others. So this church, there are different kinds of serving. We have ministries like the music ministry, and I myself is still guilty about being late. But thanks to Brother Moch and Brother Joe Marie for setting up all these instruments, for Pastor making sure sounds are right, and for Nanay Sim, who dedicates her life in preparing and cooking food so that we have a nice tea after service, and for Ate Evan and Pastor's leadership, we all have, and all the elders and all the members of the church. And we all have our own ways of serving this congregation. But we have to continue to serve more, to draw more people, to invite more people to know the kingdom of God. Amen. We are a church of servants, but we are also a church that is work on process. We are growing, and yet we would all admit that still we have a long way to go. If we would like to serve as Jesus Christ. So I think we need to take a break from our busy lives and to help more people around us. It might be inconvenient. We have to stop if we have to. But this is what makes us great in the kingdom of God. It is not our success here on earth. There are a lot of people who are sad, who are not fulfilled, and who are not happy. Because they are thinking about themselves. They are just thinking of their own problems and own desires that they do not have time to think for others. That's what makes them unhappy. And don't we know that the more we serve others, our perspective changes? It dramatically changes from the inside. Yeah. And when we help, we realize we have contentment. We have fulfillment. We are happy, and we have inner peace. Don't we know that by serving, it has a powerful impact on our emotional and mental health, according to psychology? Those who help, volunteering in nursing homes, in hospitals, in poor areas of the city, they were found to be happier and mentally stable and healthier than those who did not, according to psychology. So keep on serving. Keep on serving. Helping. Sa tingin ko parang sarap mabuhay sa mundo. This is a place to live in. Pag nakikita natin nagtutulungan lahat, pag nagiging cooperative lahat, may mahirap pa kaya. So yeah, just remembering my first example, my first story, Marion, diba? She's a princess, but she gave up everything. And when she served, she found everything. We know a Christian servant when we see one. A joyful face, an inner peace that radiates. Makikita mo yan eh, iba yung aura niya. And even when we grow old, that's what we want to see when we reflect back on our lives. We want to see a life of greatness. A life well lived. God is not concerned about the success and position, but He wants us to be in a strategic place because He wants us to make difference in this world. He has anointed us and appointed us to have a servant heart. Kuya. But this is the word. So greatness is measured in terms of service, not of status. And our Christian witness, our Christian work, Christian walk and work in the world can be more effective and God-honoring if we simply surrender ourselves to help others. Simply serve. That's the message. So are we like John or James? Let us pray. Dear Lord and Master, Lord, at some point, we are like James and John. Lord, we size up other people's in terms of what they can offer us, in terms of what they can give us. They can feed their ego. They can feed our ego. They satisfy our needs. Lord, we at some point help people and expect something in return, consciously or unconsciously. So yes, Lord, we turn to you to change our minds, direct our paths, to govern our hearts, and to teach us to serve others like you do. Lord, we are like James and John. Change us, Lord, and make us children who ask of you and of others. Lord, what can we do for you? And all the people of God says, Amen.